This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
As a species, the lionfish is absolutely stunning to look at. They're native to the Indian and Pacific Oceans, but maybe you've also seen them in aquariums. They're very hard to miss.
They have long, multicolored spines and bright colors. They're beautiful. They look like Las Vegas dancers. They look like something that nature invented to delight us.
This is DT Max, Dan Max. He's a longtime writer for the magazine, and he's covered topics from arts and culture to medicine and science. But he didn't expect himself to be on the lionfish beat.
Most stories begin with either you read something somewhere and then you make you send some emails, or otherwise maybe somebody says something to you and you go, oh, that's a good story. This one began with my son needing to do something in the summer and deciding he was going to go to camp. He was looking online and he found a camp in Belize called Reef Conservation International. And it had the usual environmental activities that you would expect in Belize. So for one thing, they were going to do was a beach cleanup. Another thing, there was going to be a lot of environmental education and sustainability and species and so on. But none of that really interested either him or me. The really amazing thing was it also said that they were going to go on lionfish hunts. And I thought, wait, this is an environmental organization that's going to take teenagers out and teach them how to kill something? So I started Googling it and talking to some of the sort of obvious people you would ask about this, and found out that lionfish were an absolutely massive problem. Outside the Indo-Pacific, you know, lionfish have no natural predators, and they themselves will eat almost anything. There's this one study that I won't ever forget, and it calculated that lionfish can eliminate more than 80% of other species on a reef in just 5 weeks. And beyond that, they reproduce incredibly fast. A female lionfish can lay an average of 27,000 eggs every 2.5 days, and they do it year-round. There are several theories on how lionfish wound up in the water, but my favorite is that people had all these lionfish in their aquariums, and they started noticing that they had fewer and fewer other fish in their aquariums. And after a while, they realized that, in fact, the lionfish were eating their other fish. And so they got irritated because, you know, people spend a lot of money on the fish in their aquariums. And they threw the lionfish into the canal in order to save the rest of their investment. The surprising thing is that when the lionfish found themselves in the canal, they weren't the least bit distressed to be there. And they quickly began the process that we're talking about today of spreading. So they're first sighted off of the Atlantic coast of Florida in the mid-80s. Then, by 2004, they're seen in Bermuda. They're in Cuba by 2007 and the Yucatan Peninsula by 2009. And really, the only thing that will limit their spread is that they don't survive winters and cold temperatures. Otherwise, they're unstoppable.
All right. You guys all good? Questions? Perfect. All right, we're going to fire this up and head out.
The thing is, you know, lionfish don't respond to bait. They're not interested in bait, and they won't, generally speaking, bite a hook. Now, you can't net them because they live in reefs and crevices, so your net's going to catch on whatever they're hiding on. What you really actually have to do is you have to go in there and harvest them by hand.
Diving. Inside here, there's a green pelican case that's got oxygen if we had some kind of situation where we need it.
You know, I'm an adequate recreational diver, definitely nothing special. But I assumed I'd be able to hunt some lionfish. That turned out not to be possible because lionfish live over 100 feet deep at this point. So what actually we did was a bit of a cheat or a workaround, is to have another diver go down, bring up a bunch of lionfish to the surface, and then wait there for me.
He's right up next to you then.
You know, lionfish vary in size, and they're bigger in the Atlantic and the Gulf than they are in their native habitat, but they're about 9 inches in length or so.
Don't splash.
All right, relax.
The spear is really essentially a slingshot. It's about 3 feet long. It's made of fiberglass. It has these nasty prongs on the end, and it's launched by virtue of a kind of a rubber band, a very thick rubber band. And when you release it, it actually flies off with incredible speed.
Any way. You can shoot it any way you want. Closer and pull it all the way back. All the way back.
I keep missing.
You can be like 2 inches from it.
Eventually, I get the hang of the problem that I'm having with the spear, which is I put so much suntan lotion on, so much sun cream, that I can't hold the barrel of the spear. It's sliding away. So they throw me a glove. I went right up to the lionfish. I released the spear via the rubber band, went through this quite small lionfish, and the lionfish died.
Yay! There it is. You got it. Nice.
I think that I felt essentially like I had done something kind of pointless. You know, no matter how bad, in quotes, lionfish are, no matter how invasive, no matter what they do to, like, the grouper stock and how they crowd out other species, you know, again and again in my head was the point that this, like, is not their fault. I mean, we slap these labels on these invasive species. Even the word invasive sometimes made me laugh with the idea that this species had invaded us. Completely the opposite of what really happened. I mean, we grabbed it out of its native environment, put it in our dentist's office for show, and it got out. The thing is, there's this whole community of people who've really gotten into lionfish hunting. It's their passion. It's their hobby. They go out several times a week, and they see how many lionfish they can spear. There are even tournaments now with cash prizes for teams that bring back the biggest haul. And the person in this world who really caught my attention, the one who really fascinated me, is a woman named Rachel Bowman.
Hello.
How's it going?
Thank you for coming.
Rachel Bowman is a woman who lives in the Florida Keys and who is a bartender. That's her profession. But her name kept coming up again and again in sort of scientific papers. She's thanked often. And then when I would start interviewing scientists, they'd be like, oh, I went diving with Rachel Bowman. And I looked up Rachel and I watched some videos of her lionfishing. And she lionfishes, you know, with this kind of incredible intensity. You know, when you're diving, your main job is to survive. I mean, I think that's what most divers have on their mind when they're 150 feet below the water. It's like, monitor my oxygen level, you know, keep everything under control, do my stops, my safety stops, get up, and I'm in good health. Rachel just seemed to have something utterly different on her mind. She had this almost kind of wild bloodlust for lionfish. At least that's what I was kind of interpreting as I would watch these videos taken with GoPros, you know, 100 feet under the water.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm from an island off the coast of North Carolina called Wrightsville Beach. My father was a commercial shrimper and a charter boat captain, so I grew up definitely on the water, in the water. Moved to the Florida Keys and...
She comes from, you know, like many people who I met, she comes from a family that's interested in the well-being of the oceans, but not an environmental point of view.
I'm a bartender. I don't throw garbage on the ground.
Yeah.
I recycle. It's not that I'm not aware of the environmental benefits of what I'm doing. It's just not on my radar. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit like people say, I'm not a feminist, but, you know, she functions really as an environmentalist, but she would not want to be called an environmentalist.
No, what was your environmental consciousness as a little girl? Zero.
My dad was a commercial shipper.
Right, so.
My house is full of, you know, pictures of my dad standing at the dock next to a big dead shark or a big dead marlin. He wasn't a terrible person. There just wasn't that mindset. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, anybody that's been on a shrimp boat, it's not pretty. What else comes up in that net? And, you know, the regard for it. So
it took me a while to understand, and really it was in Florida that it hit me full in the face for the first time that this wasn't an environmental story at all. What this really was a story about two aspects of modern America in conflict. So on the one hand, we have this out of control population in our waters, and on the other hand, we have a highly motivated group that wants to control them at any price. And I thought to myself, you know, just to see these two in conflict, just to watch how this plays out, you'd see something pretty amazing.
Numbers. How many dives do you think you've gone on for lionfish?
Forget it.
1,000?
Yeah.
5,000?
Yeah.
Any remote estimate of how many pounds of...
I couldn't even begin to give you that number.
So do you make a living, more of a living from harvesting lionfish than from bartending?
No.
No.
God, no.
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 What's the lionfish end of things, like, worth?
Years are, every year's different. Some years are, I mean, we had some terrible years, mm-hmm. you know, and we had some years that, you know, I bought a boat. So.
You bought a boat with your lionfish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Britney Spears.
To go get more lionfish.
Yep. We were getting crap money for lionfish. Until May of 2016. I sold the very first lionfish to Whole Foods in May of 2016. They got a macerator, so they would take the really tiny ones and turn them into lionfish dumplings, which were delicious. That was who changed the game for us as far as money.
I didn't
know
that.
So my dad died in February of that year, just a few months before that happened. But I think if my dad could have seen his little girl's picture in the frozen fish section of Whole Foods, I think his heart may have burst. I think that was the moment I finally made up for not being a boy.
Do you think that the war against lionfish is being won or lost?
It's so funny. So somebody came into my bar the other day, and there were people sitting at the bar talking about lionfish. And they, you know who I am and what I do. And this guy kind of comes in mid-conversation and he sits down and he's listening. And he goes, well, what's the point? And he said, well, I read online that, you know, lionfish release, you know, 50 million eggs a year. So what's the point? And I looked at him and I said, well, first of all, that's an inaccurate number. It's like 2 million eggs a year, I think. And what's the point? I'm not sitting on a bar stool, you know, wheezing, being 300 pounds, drinking a beer. I'm out there doing something. That's the point.
You know, and it's true what Rachel's saying. She's definitely not just sitting around. She's working really hard, even if it seems sometimes like she's involved in an impossible, endlessly uphill battle. But I also think there's something else that motivates her, and it's this. Unlike other invasive species, unlike stink bugs, unlike cane toads in Australia, lionfish are edible. And they're not just edible, but they're really delicious. They taste like cod or some other tasty white meat fish that you'd want to eat. So if we looked at them from a different point of view, we could really say that lionfish aren't a scourge at all, but a gift of food, a really nutritious, low-fat food that people would actually want to eat. So then we just lack one thing. What we lack is a mechanism to efficiently harvest them, because no amount of Rachel Bowman's in the water is ever going to get enough lionfish to put them on tables across America. But I have hope still, because, and this is something that someone I interviewed told me, and it's really stuck with me. He said, if there's one thing humans are really good at, it's eradicating species for money.
Staff writer, D.T. Max. You can find his full report on lionfish on our website, newyorker.com.